at the time of 7:42. I'm Barry Martin, and very happy to welcome into the studio as our guest in the next segment here, Napa County Supervisor Belia Ramos. Good morning. Welcome in.
Good morning, Barry. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. What do you think of this new place?
I am absolutely impressed from the moment walking into the through the front door to seeing the lobby. At a moment to chat with Julissa and Will, and I said the lack of dust bunnies is very apparent in this place. There are slick lines. It's clean. It is absolutely the future for radio of Napa, and I congratulate all of you. It's been a long time coming.
Indeed, it's a nice piece of work, this little place. I'm getting been an hour and a half. I'm accustomed to it now.
I can't imagine it would be hard to become accustomed to the good life here. That's for sure. Foster Road has so many memories for all of us, and just the character and the history that came with Foster Road. But having the radio station, both the FM and the AM, down here at the South Napa Marketplace at Gasser Century, it's really where things are happening, and you're going to have really cool neighbors, and it's visible. The Imola Corridor is a happening place, and it's just right across the street from my 5th District.
A couple of years ago, we were just talking with Will and Julissa. They took over the station July 2 years ago, and then within just a couple of months had to deal with everything that happened with the big fires. And you were very instrumental and involved in the communication effort and coming to the radio station a lot, back and forth. Here we are 2 years later. Let's talk a little bit about emergency preparedness, because I know this has been a big focus for you and the communication side of that. If, God forbid, we were to get into a bad fire scenario again locally this fire season, are we better off in terms of preparedness than we were then?
We are, but I'll start by saying we need to make sure that we think of all emergencies, not just fire. In the recent days, the thousands of earthquakes and rumblers down in Southern California has got emergency preparedness on all of our minds. We have better understanding of what our challenges are for communication. Everybody, as I say now, you should know what NICSIL is. You should sign up for NICSIL, the texting or email service through the county. But we also have a new platform available, and that is readynapacounty.org. And readynapacounty.org is where we will house all information regarding emergencies. And so these are large emergencies. If we have a traffic collision, those typical NICSIL messages you may get, we're not going to put that there. But if we get into a scenario where we have to do evacuations and advisories and open a local assistance center, all that information will be funneled through readynapacounty.org. And part of the reason is it gives everyone a dedicated place to go. You're not going to have to maneuver through the county website, which is thousands of pages deep. And it really sends the message, right? Much like ready.gov, it sends the message of this is what we have to do to be prepared, to make sure you have an action plan with your family, but also to stay informed. Staying informed is what keeps people safe. And this is that platform for that. And I also know that the City of American Canyon has launched its own as well, readyamericancanyon.org.
Hmm. What about the other cities and towns?
I know that other cities are looking at it as well, but not live launches as of yet.
Yeah. I've just pulled it up here on my little machine, and it looks really good and clean and simple.
That's it. It's right? Clean and simple, and that's what we want it to be. You want to be able to get the very top information, the most relevant at the top for you. Mm-hmm. And that was one of our challenges that we had during the fires of 2017 as we populated information onto our homepage. It really sent things kind of awry, right? One thing builds off another on web pages. So this dedicated platform will really help aid us in that communication. And it's that one-stop shop.
ReadyNapaCounty.org. And if you're smart, you'll go in there, find that, bookmark it in your browser, bookmark it in your phone, so you can go right to it when you need to. When we think about this 2 years later scenario, we're almost there to 2 years since the fires in wine country. One of the big issues was cell phone connectivity. One of the other issues was notification, getting people out, and so on and so forth. Talk through some of the steps that the county's gone through. This is not breaking news, but just to remind people of what's changed since then, since 2 years ago.
So in some of our more vulnerable areas for fire and emergencies, one of the things that the county has done in connection with CAL FIRE, which is our county fire department, is we have sent out to those neighborhoods evacuation route maps. And so this helps inform them, if you have an emergency, this is the safest route to take. So the Veeder area, the Atlas area, the Angwin area, these communities now have a print form of where do you go, what's the route you take. Another thing, Angwin is a very particularly vulnerable area with dense forest and just its location up on the top of a ridge line, and where do you go? Do you go to Pope Valley? Do you go to St. Helena? There's an additional exit route through Las Posadas Forest in Angwin. And last week, CAL FIRE with sheriff's deputies escorted the community to become familiar with the alternative evacuation route, which is actually through the back end of the 4-H camp that we utilize at Las Posadas. And that information, that experience of being able to do the evacuation procedures in a non-emergency and methodical way, that's what we're aiming for, so that it doesn't become a panic for people. Of course, we're all going to worry when we have an emergency, but practicing those evacuations are really important. Another thing that the county did, we had our emergency preparedness open house, and we had hundreds of people come. I was shocked. It was, with the humidity, it felt like 120 out there, and everyone came out. They were grabbing our go bags. They were stopping by all the stations. It was also a cool event for kids to hop on all of our public works equipment, on our boats, and on our bomb squad vehicles. And it was really great to see so many people prioritize emergency preparedness to come and learn and to sign up. That was the other part. They signed up for NICSL. They signed up for CERT programs to become more educated on how they can become those true, what I call the true first responders, because your neighborhood, that's who's going to respond to you first.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's been a lot of work and a lot of steps have been taken. And again, you know, God forbid we have to deal with it again, but don't forget that emergency radio is part of your go bag. Right?
Absolutely. And, you know, and there's another likely emergency coming our way, and these are the public safety power shutoffs. And that's one thing that the county, in our recently adopted budget, we are setting aside money and investing into emergency preparedness to also include public safety power shutoffs, so the PSPS, as PG&E refers to it. And why is that? Because there are some people that have critical life-saving equipment that they are connected to that require electricity, and if they're not able to recharge batteries, they're going to have a health safety on their hands.
Right.
The other issue is when we have sweltering heat and we have seniors or medically vulnerable people that aren't able to get cooler temperatures within their home, that itself can create a public safety. So working with our public health department, working with PG&E, and working with first responders, we've been able to identify those medically critical patients throughout the county. But if there are others, we ask that you get in touch with our public health department so that we know, so that we can get the resources out to you. And this last power public safety power shut off in the Lake Berryessa area, there was a gentleman who has an artificial heart that our Napa County firefighters were able to assist to get him to the fire station to recharge his battery so that his heart could keep working. Think about that.
I'll never complain about my phone being dead again.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Takes battery life to a whole new level.
I happened to talk to somebody recently who is part of their business is generators. And they are just maxed out trying to install generators for people. He does a lot of work in Lake County as well as Napa County. Are you hearing that, too, that a lot of businesses and entities of different kinds are trying to install generators now?
Yes, yes. I've heard a lot of generator activity, but I've also learned of a lot of homeowners out in the Lake Berryessa area that are making fire-resistant upgrades to their homes as well, which, you know, there's the downside of these disasters, and it's the suffering, it's the challenges that they pose to us while it's happening and the recovery afterwards. But hopefully all of this is making us all make some wiser decisions in terms of keeping our homes and our loved ones safe.
Yeah. We're talking with County Supervisor Belia Ramos, District 5. And let's talk about the budget. You mentioned the budget in passing there, and off the air you told me that you managed to pass a budget that fully funds all your reserve accounts?
Absolutely. All our reserves and contingencies and fiscal uncertainty accounts have been fully funded. And so when you think about a budget and you think about all of the investments that we make, because what the county does is truly providing for our most vulnerable and to provide that safety net. And then we have our additional constitutional obligations of running a jail, providing for the welfare of our most vulnerable citizens, and providing for roads. But more than that, we are that safety net when a disaster strikes, and why we've been able to weather these disasters in the past, stemming back to 2014, the earthquake, and all our subsequent evacuations and fires and floods that we have had, is because we have had the reserves in place to be able to move that money. In 2017, 2 days into the fire, we were able to move with ease over $1 million to just simply cover our staffing costs for our fire response. Not every county is in a position to do that. And so having ourselves fully funded in every reserve capacity at our policy levels is really important so that we are ready. It's part of our county's preparedness.
Mm-hmm. So someone listening right now, without a doubt, is saying, oh, well, you have so much money. Why don't you fix the roads? This is the number one complaint, I guess, these days, right?
Absolutely.
Road condition. So that's happening. There's some degree of that kind of work going on right now, right?
It is happening now. So the way the county budgets work, it's similar to a household budget. You have money for food. You have money for mortgage. You have money for insurance. And you have the other stuff. And so they're little buckets, right? They're not little. Let me rephrase that. They are not little buckets. When I came home and I told my kids, they said, did you guys approve the budget? And I said, yeah. And they said, how much? And I said, 517. And they're like, oh, dollars? And I said, million. $517 million. So our roads are getting the work that they so desperately need. But they're getting that work not all at one time and with a methodical plan. And so I'll explain a little bit about what are the funding sources coming into the roads. So we have the county's general fund contribution into roads. So that's one pot of money. Then we have Measure T funds. That's what voters approved to on a sales tax. That it flipped over the flood tax over to the roads tax to be able to do maintenance and repair and other improvements that include pedestrian and bicycle mobility. So there's that pot of money. Then we have coming in now from the state is our SB1 money. And coming soon, we'll have our regional Measure 3 money, as that was just recently upheld in court proceedings. These different pots of money go for different things. You are going to see a lot of SB1 signs around the county. You're already seeing some on Bumen, on Old Sonoma. You're going to see, on Silverado Trail as well. You're going to see some Measure T money on Silverado Trail and some of your city streets out by Imola, in the Imola area by NCOE. You're going to see a lot of signs. And those signs are telling you what pot of money is funding that road project. So that's one way to become informed about it. The other thing is there's a road season, and I highlight this in my newsletter. There's this magical window of time where we lay asphalt and it works. If you see in the winter, if you call in a pothole and we fill it and then you're annoyed at us because 3 or 4 weeks later it's back, it's because asphalt doesn't stick as well in the winter. You have that humidity, you have the wet weather, it's too cold. So we go ahead and we have this road season that's mostly from May to October. If we get some good weather extended beyond that, we could do some specific projects. But that's why you see the activity right now on Silverado Trail, a tremendous amount. Old Sonoma, I've had to detour to get to my mom's house for weeks now. And even I, knowing about this, approving these projects, even I throw in a little eye roll every now and then. But what I ask is everyone slow down when you see the cone zone. Please, please slow down. There's some parts of the road projects right now because they're in the middle that don't have any striping. So just use your best judgment. Make sure you slow down. Stay at least 3 feet away from our crews. Not only is that the law, but it's safety, theirs and yours. And have a little patience with us. It's going to get better. We use a pavement management index program that allows us to see what's the worst. So Coombsville, my district, you're going to say, my road is the worst. Why aren't you doing my road first? I hear you. I ride my bike out there. I take my own life into my own hands when I do that. I'm with you. But the way these pavement management indexes work is we have to extend life of roads first before we do total repairs. That is the best cost management method for us to utilize when it comes to roads. So we have a 5-year road plan. It's available on the county website, and you can look up your road.
Very good. Again, our guest right now, County Supervisor Billy Ramos, and we're going to continue after a break. There's more to come here on Wine Country Live today. Hope you will stay tuned. Now this.
Housing discrimination. Would you recognize it and report it?
Be live. And this morning we have the opportunity to chat with County Supervisor Belia Ramos, who's here with us in studio. She is the District 5 supervisor. We've been talking about road repair and emergency preparedness and the budget and lots of other things. Let's talk for a moment, if we can, about winery compliance. This is a topic that's been in the news the last, 6 months or so?
I think probably a little bit longer than that, Barry.
You're right.
At least on people's minds, yes. Longer than that.
Yes. And the Board of Supervisors took some action to crack down is a pretty strong word, I'd say, but it's in that vicinity of a crackdown, a tightening a little bit, a review, making sure people are complying with their use permits. What's been the outcome of that process? I know there was a deadline back in the spring, and now we're past that. What's happening now with that?
You know, I'm gonna take a moment and somewhat rephrase it from a crackdown and say that what we wanted to be able to accomplish at the county is to have confidence in our compliance. And that's something that we didn't have and we haven't had for some time. And part of that is what we have discovered through this compliance program, which had a deadline at the end of March to come in, and the amnesty, what we called compliance amnesty, would apply. And what this all ties back to is CEQA, and that's the California Environmental Protection Act. And CEQA requires that we evaluate the impacts of any project based on its baseline. And a baseline is established within 1 year. And so what this program said is, come in by March and we will process your application, and we'll get you either through the zoning administration process or through the planning commission process based upon what you're doing. After that time frame, you had to return to your approved use permit levels for 1 year before you come in and apply. What has really transpired during this time is that what is considered a modification, either a minor modification or a major modification, really has no, in some sense, it really has no reasoning to it. If you add one employee, that's considered a major modification under our current practices. If you're able to add that one employee, institute carpooling and not add a car, arguably the impacts aren't there, or they have already been previously evaluated, because most people do their environmental review and the assessment of the impacts that a project will have with some growth in mind. So it's already sort of built in. But our processes hasn't really encompassed that. So what we're doing is we are going to take a look at what that means, what this minor modification and a major modification means. What we don't want, we're not here to put people out of business, to have people lose their jobs. That's not something that we're looking at. But what we do want is to have confidence in those approvals that have been made through the use permit process, of what visitation looks like, what your traffic volumes are, your water usage, and making sure that people are complying with the building code, which in some circumstances has not happened. So we're taking a look at that. We've already given some direction to staff to come forward with some proposals.
Do you foresee that anybody is going to see a reduction in their production capacity or a reduction in their number of visitors they're allowed to have compared to what they're currently doing?
Not through the policy process that the board is undertaking. Now, if someone is exceeding their capacity, that is a compliance problem as of right now. So not through our own policy decision-making, this isn't going to be any sort of a take-back. This really seeks to clarify much of the gray area that we have had. We have the pre-WDO wineries. We have the WDO wineries. There's this little in-between in the early 90s area. And so we have these layers of different types of use permits. And you can look at a use permit from the 80s to a use permit now, and we can see that it's like comparing Foster Road to South Napa.
good idea. Good analogy. County Supervisor Billy Ramos with us. We're going to break for just a brief moment, and we're going to add someone else into this segment. Joining us in just a moment will be Napa Mayor Jill Teckel, and we'll have a little three-way conversation right after this. And we are back on Wine Country Live. It is Monday, the 8th of July, and you're listening to the very first live broadcast from the new studios of KVON, soon to also be the new studios of KVYN, our sister station. It's a big day. It's very exciting. We've got all this brand new stuff, and everything is just a little bit different. It's very discombobulating. We're getting used to it and having a great time in this very swanky new facility that we have here in South Napa Century Center. We've been talking with County Supervisor Belia Ramos, and now we're happy to add to the conversation Napa Mayor Jill Teckel. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think?
It's amazing. I've been doing KVON interviews for many years, from when I was on the school board to the city council and now as mayor. The board in front of you is really amazing, and you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
Your first time with basically new equipment.
Mm-hmm.
This is the new era of radio and radio for Napa, and good for us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's thank you for coming in today. Sort of both of you representing your city and county governments. It feels very official that we're here, having here today and getting this started.
Where's the ribbon?
Let's talk for a moment, since we have the two of you together, about an issue that everybody is interested in and that the two of you are both very engaged in. That, of course, is the Napa Pipe Project. And there was a big step that occurred in Sacramento with some new legislation. Let's start with you, Mayor. How important was that legislative step in Sacramento?
Well, we had made a deal with the county about how to move forward with Napa Pipe. And part of it was them getting the credit for the housing that was going to be built out there. And we both agreed on that. What happened was part of Napa Pipe got annexed, and the housing was going to go on the other part. Now the developer says, it makes more sense for me to put the housing on the part that's annexed to the city. How do we give county credit for those units? And so I was in Sacramento last week and went and talked to them, and it's 300 feet. Is the difference in the areas of where we're going to put the housing. And it sailed through. I mean, we've been up there maybe five times, talking to various politicians there. They're a little worried when somebody comes up that maybe somebody's trying to sneak out or get out of their housing obligations. That's not the case here at all.
Mm-hmm. How does this feel from the county perspective?
One of the things... Napa Pipe is one of those issues that has forced the city and the county to really get on the same page, and that is exactly what this is about, for everyone to be able to say we're going to go up to Sacramento and ask for everyone to help us do what we have agreed to. It's a new age for the city and the county to be at that place, and for us to be able to have the housing credit is extremely important for the county. As you know, with our Ag Preserve, our ability to add meaningful housing is limited and to our urbanized areas. That's where we put it. And so this is one of those sites that's unique in that it had county origins. And to be able to facilitate this for the developer is really going to be a win for both the city and the county, for the city to have the housing within their jurisdiction and for the county to meet its housing obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was unique about this was the property was all in the county when it was approved. And so when we went to Sacramento, met with Scott Weiner, he said that was important to him, that the county had approved it, and therefore now that it's being developed, that it goes into the city makes functional sense, and so he could get on board with it. But again, when people first heard about it, it's like, what are you trying to do? Is somebody trying to get out of their obligation?
Mm-hmm.
And when we were there last week, it's like, other counties ought to look, counties and cities ought to look at creative ways to get housing built.
Yeah.
So it's a good time for us.
Ironically, just this morning, Napa Valley Register has a story about the grand jury, and they're asking the question, where is Napa Pipe? Where's my Costco, actually, is the question.
They're asking about Costco. That's what everybody asks. You
yeah.
go to the grocery store, it's mayor. Tap you on the shoulder, mayor. When's Costco come? So I know people are very interested.
Yeah. And the answer to the question is?
Oh, read the article. No. We're one step closer, or two steps closer, with the work we're doing.
Yeah.
So I feel like, and again, the grand jury did some investigation and says, you know, the developer has the funds to put in the infrastructure. So that was great news. So hopefully things will move very quickly. Mm-hmm. And they're saying once they get started, it's only 5 months. So if you read the article, it says that I'm hopeful that I get to cut the ribbon on that before I leave office. So we got about a year and a half.
Okay, so everybody should hang in there,
yeah.
Right? Hopefully your you know, giant stocks of things from your last Costco trip will carry you through. This entire housing question under the new governor, the picture has changed. Gavin Newsom is sort of drawing a line and making some very aggressive statements about compelling communities to provide more housing. Bilya, do you see that? Is that a threat to Napa County? Is that a threat to the ag watershed or the ag preserve in the future?
You know, I see that it's going to require us to up our game when it comes to educating Sacramento and regional bodies such as ABAG, the Association of Area Governments, for which I am the county representative, as to what our constraints are. What makes us different in Napa is the county isn't in a position where it's wedded to not providing housing. The county is obligated to the voters through the voter initiative to preserve agriculture. And so that puts us in a different position from those jurisdictions that have in some way passed policy and legislated to not provide housing. In those places where we are able to zone and provide for housing, that has been done, and we will continue to look at creative ways through the sub-RENA process. The sub-RENA process is what allows us to be at the table with the city of Napa, city of American Canyon, and other jurisdictions that are willing to participate and to say, can we trade here? One of the things that makes sense for Napa County is to continue to look at those alternatives. Do I see it as a threat? No, I see it as a sense of urgency for all of us to be able to keep housing at the forefront. The reason we have traffic is because people can't afford to live where they work at times. And so we have to continue to look at those creative solutions to work with the city and continue breaking ground and cutting those ribbons, like all those homes that are going behind us over in Gasser property at Stoddard West and others. Those are exciting. I'm going to be going to American Canyon after this for the senior housing project over there to have the open house for that one as well. So we're building it. It just may not be precisely within county jurisdiction only, but I'll remind you that every city is within the county.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Well, and you know, what we used to fight the ABAG numbers. It was like, let's not get big numbers. Let's spend a lot of energy working on that process. And probably about 7 years ago, I went, we need housing. It doesn't matter what allocation that we're given, we need to build housing. And so feeling like it was something that the community wanted to do, we would do those community surveys and say, what do you think is the biggest issue in Napa? And they'd say housing. So it became, how do we facilitate getting the housing built? And you're right, this year I think we'll have about 400 units come online in Napa, new housing units. So I'm real proud about that, and that's going to make a difference here.
We've been talking with County Supervisor Bilya Ramos and Napa Mayor Jill Teckel in this segment of the show. We're going to have to cut you loose, Supervisor, and we're going to keep the mayor around for a little bit longer in our next segment of the program. Stay tuned. More of Wine Country Live is coming your way. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much, Barry, and congratulations to KVON on their new home. It suits you, and Napa deserves this.
We hope to see you often here.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a little break. More to come after these messages, the Vine Files, and a check on sports coming up, too.
Festival Napa Valley, the 10 best days of summer, has out-of-this-world performances for 2019. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, Star Wars, A New Hope with live orchestra. Get ready for a thrilling sensory experience with Star Wars Live at the Lincoln Theater July 18th. Additional concerts at Festival Napa Valley 2019 include opera at the Castello in the beautiful Castello de Amarosa with composer and pianist John Musto. Also in the Castello Courtyard, it's Grand Cru Concertos, a trio of rising instrumentalists. Festival Napa Valley's closing concert celebrates the Apollo 11 moon landing, 50 years to the day, with song To the Moon. July 20th, Festival Napa Valley offers programs that make the arts accessible to all. More than 200 artists, wineries, resorts, theaters, restaurants, chefs, and vintners participate each year. Book your tickets now at festivalnapavalley.org. That's festivalnapavalley.org.
I'm Nate Campbell, and another report from The Vine Files, stories we are following from around the wine country, and a Wine Down Media exclusive, small family farms in the wine country, and all of the challenges that come with that. Heading up the Save the Family Farms effort is Bill Wolf. He sat down with KVON's Barry Martin on the Wine Country Live morning show.
I was in 28 states at one time before the crash in 2008, and I just pulled out. People were going bankrupt. So we went from 6,000 distributors in this country about 10 years ago down to less than 600. And those distributors don't want to talk to little guys like us. So you build a website, and you know, you used to be able to build a website and they would come. It doesn't happen today. Now it costs $10,000 at Google and $10,000 at Yelp and so forth and so on to try to get people to come to try.